sometimes I think we miss the point that the choir does not sing for entertainment. The choir sings to enrich us, to minister to us through songs. And see, I was watching. I know sometimes you don't think I'm paying attention, but singing in ministry is like preaching. It's a call and response kind of thing. And so when Sister Elizabeth was saying, ministering to us and simply saying, would you wave your hands and say yes? Some of us wouldn't even wave our hand. We just sit there. It was a question. And we say things like, the Lord watches and sees. So if you can't signal to him a yes, what does that really say about our relationship with God? We do things in the church like all those in favor say aye and folks say aye. But when the song is ministering to us, when the song says, lift your hands, well, lift our hands. See, we come to worship, and worship requires your full participation. One of the problems we have in the church is we're too picky and choosy. We're not allowed to get in the presence of God and have an attitude. We're not allowed to come in the presence of God and pick the part we want to be a part of. What if God just picked certain parts of your life to be nice to you? What if God only picked parts of your life to bless you, to wake you up? What if God forgot to ring your alarm clock one morning? So what I'm saying to you is, love him. Show him that you love him. Worship him. We have heard it said over and over again that the Lord is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I will tell you now, beloved of God, if you can't be honest with him, you'll never be honest with anybody. If you can't love him, you'll never love anybody. If you won't listen to him, you'll never listen to anybody. What is God saying to us? I want your yes. Will your heart say yes? Will your mind say yes? Will your soul say yes? Father, in the name of Jesus, name that is so powerful that it causes even demons to behave themselves. It is in that name. As grandma would say, it is the matchless name. All she was saying, Lord, is there's nobody like you. No, nobody even comes close to you. You're sovereign, you're supreme, you're spectacular. In the name of Jesus, we come now. Because that's the only name that's going to grant us access. It's the only name that's going to deliver us from our sins. It's the only name that's going to heal our broken bodies. It is our strength. The book of Nehemiah reminds us that just the joy of the Lord gives us strength. So God, we come before you right now to offer our yes. And God, to ask you to let us come closer. James says, if you draw near unto God, God will draw near unto you. Lord, in the beginning of these worship services, we invoked your presence. We ask you to come and be with us. And so, Lord, because our faith says you are already in this place, would you allow us to draw even nearer? There's an old song, Lord, they used to sing, I guess it was back in the 90s, that simply said, I'm so glad I found the Lord Jesus in time. It is our time. Oh God, would you show yourself in this place that we might be seen because of you. We would see Jesus. So God, help us today to change and take this opportunity. Please, God, forgive us if we're guilty of not raising our hand. If we're guilty of not acknowledging that we are one with you. Or at least, Lord, it is our desire. Of all the world may afford to us, they cannot replace you. We need Christ Jesus. We do say thank you, Lord, for clothes and shelter and food and finance, but we need Jesus. So God, on this day that you might save one, draw us in closer. And God, we want to say yes. Please, God, again today, forgive us of our sins. Many of us, Lord, are doing the best we know how. The devil is busy, so very busy. And Lord, we can't win without you. We can't even walk without you. So God, would you be that battle axe? Would you be that bridge? Would you be our strength? Now again, open our eyes and our ears. Is there a word from the Lord? We believe it to be so. Thank you, Father. Help me, Lord, because I can't help myself. Speak to me that I might speak to these. And God, would you again give us the strength to stand. Clarity and wisdom, intellect. God, be all that I need. For I'm all yours. I surrender myself to you, submit to your authority. And God, I declare you sovereign. Speak to this people that we'll never be the same. In the name of Jesus. The redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together and let's praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord. I'm not trying to depress you. I just want you to be real. Can you just praise the Lord like you mean it? Come on, give him some rousing love. Even if you just wave at him right long through here, he'll understand. Oh God, that you might hear our praises. For when praises go up, blessings come down. God inhabits our praises. He loves to hear us praise him. He loves to hear us praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. God bless you. It's good to see each and every one of you. Thank you for all that you do and all that you are and all that God is yet going to reveal in you. The book of Ephesians in the very first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, again, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being faithful. And again, we started in January with 52 weeks of discipleship growth. And I do want to encourage you to grab your friends and neighbors and kinfolk. Last month was our discipleship growth month. And we're going to try again in the month of May. And we're going to go at it. Revival is coming up on 19th, 20th, and 21st of May, right after Mother's Day holiday and celebration. We're going to go into revival. The Reverend Herbert Holly is going to be our preacher for revival. And so we're looking forward to him coming and sharing with us for those 3 nights. We're going to set up with some good prayer time before we go into revival. I really believe, God, that we can secure for the kingdom at least 20 lives. And we pray, God, that you will help us along that journey. We're a little behind on our 52-week discipleship movement, so we've got to pick it up a little bit. Nudge your neighbor and say, pick it up now. Pick it up. So encouraging you to do that with us. God bless you again. Good to see you. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll not trouble your patience extraordinarily long today. Beginning at verse 15. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1, again, I have a New Living Translation. Let me read a little differently from what you have on your app or your particular version. The Bibles in our pews are New Living Translation Bibles, so you can grab one of those if you'd like. Beginning at verse 15, the Word of God declares, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I've never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people." God bless you, beloved of God. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. Verse 19 goes further and says, "I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come." I want to connect that with what he says to us in verse 18. "I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people." For a little while, if you will help me right along through here, I want to talk in our series of getting better with this topic in our minds. You've got it better than you show it. You've got it better than you show it. I was afforded the opportunity to serve in the United States military. And my first assignment, I was assigned at the United States Military Academy at West Point in New York. In fact, West Point has its own city name. It's that larger facility. And as a young transportation operator, they put me in the motor pool. And in that particular motor pool, we had both civilian and military operators. Military operators, soldiers, and the civilians, of course, worked from, they either had wage grade, which was WGs or GS grades. And there was a man who worked there, Deacon McKenzie, by the name of Howard Brown. Howard Brown was an interesting gentleman. He was a mechanic slash driver. And Mr. Brown was a bit of an enigma. Not many people knew a lot about Howard Brown. But if you met Howard Brown, he was deceiving in his appearance. I remember when I first was assigned to West Point. Of course, you know, when you're a new guy, the newbie, they introduce you to people little by little. And Mr. Brown was an African-American gentleman. And of course, you know, as African-Americans, we do tend to hook up with our own, as it were. But Mr. Brown thought I was a sharp young fellow. He came over and introduced himself to me. And we became friends. Howard Brown drove a 1968 Chevrolet Impala. Mind you, this is 1979. So his 68 Impala is about 10, 11 years old. And the car wasn't in the best of shape. It was a two-door coupe. It was a nice car. It was white in color. If I recall, it had red and white interior. But the car was just a 68 Impala. Mr. Brown wore khakis and a flannel shirt to work every day, had a little hat on his head, glasses that always seemed to slide down his nose. Mr. Brown brought a bag lunch to work every day, kind of sit over there with a little grease spot in it. Looked like it was the same bag until it wore out the way he couldn't use that bag. In fact, he would use the same Ziploc bags. They weren't Ziploc then, but I think we're glad with the little flap. And he would save them. He would take his sandwich out, eat his sandwich, fold a little bag up, put that back in the bag, you know, and every day. And it was said that Mr. Brown had seven or eight kids. And people thought Mr. Brown was poor. That's what I'm getting to. People thought Howard Brown didn't have much. And whenever holidays came along, they would collect baskets, put together food baskets. And always, you know, I got there, I think, when I first arrived, it was October. So when Thanksgiving came, they gave Mr. Brown his big basket, you know. Ladies in the office put together this basket. They said, let's give it to Howard Brown. He got all them children. And Christmas came, so Scott, and they gave Mr. Brown another basket. And Mr. Brown went out and put it in the back of the old Chevrolet, closed the trunk down. And this went on for 2 years. I never went to Mr. Brown's house. I saw Mr. Brown in the motor pool, that kind of thing. So one day, my car broke down. And Howard Brown, being the friend that Howard Brown was, came over to me and he said, Leroy, you need a ride? I said, Mr. Brown, that'd be my nice of you, because I lived over across the mountain, as it were. We used to call it across the mountain, Dick McKenzie. So Howard Brown says, would you like a ride? And I'm thinking to myself, well, I can't walk across the mountain. So Howard Brown says, come on, I'll give you a ride. We get in the 1968 Chevrolet Impala. The car's raggedy. The radio don't work. Got to close the door like this, slam it. You know, I closed it first time. You know how you get in people's car. You don't want to slam the door. I closed the door. The door didn't close all the way. Tashim, he said, oh, you got to slam that door, man. So I pull up the little thing, pushed it. And then the door looked like it dropped a little bit. He said, when you slam it, pull up on it. So boom, I slammed the door. The old car rocked. So we get on there and he started up. And it. And I'm thinking, we're not going to make it across the mountain in this heat. So up the mountain, we go up 9W bypass, winding road, people passing us. I smell fumes coming in the car. I said, Mr. Brown, this thing leaking. Oh, we'll be all right. They'll keep that window cracked. We'll be all right. Up the mountain we go. I'm thinking I'm going to die. Up the mountain we go, down the other side. And then, you know, we're going down faster than we were going up. And then I look over Mr. Brown riding the brake with his left foot. I said, Mr. Brown, you drive with 2 feet. Oh, yeah. He said, you got to keep this thing rolled down, boy. You don't want to get down there and can't stop this thing. I need to put some brake shoes on the back. I'm thinking, you're a mechanic. Anyway, down the mountain we go. So we get off the mountain. He said, look here, I need to stop by the house before I take you home. You don't mind, do you? I said, no, sir. We turn off another road. And then we turn down a road that I know leads to a neighborhood that Howard Brown can't live. Howard Brown goes down this road. So I'm thinking maybe he's going by to do somebody a favor because he's a mechanic. So into the neighborhood we go, and there are monstrosities of houses. Driving in the neighborhood, Mr. Brown looks rather familiar. People start waving at him. He's waving out the window. We pull up in the driveway of one of the most beautiful houses I had ever seen. Mr. Brown reaches under the seat, pulls out a remote, hits the remote, and up goes two sets of garage doors. In the garage are two Cadillacs, a Mercedes. This is 1979 black folk Mercedes. And a pickup truck that is spotless. A boat is on the side of the house. The boat big as the house. I'm looking at Howard Brown. He starts laughing. And he looks at me, Harmony, and says, fooled you, didn't I? And I looked at him and said, Mr. Brown, you got it better than you've been showing it. He says, Mitchell, there are things that God does for me that ain't nobody's business. Yeah. 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 Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus that y'all got it made. God is doing stuff for you. But I differ with Mr. Brown today. And I'm saying to you that
in light of the fact that God has given you a glorious and rich inheritance, you ought to show it. You ought to live your life as a light in light of how the light has shined on your life. Paul says to the church, he said, listen, I've been praying for you because I heard that you were Christians. So I've been praying for you because somebody told me that you love the Lord. And he said, ever since I heard that, I've been praying for you. Can I pull over here for a minute and ask you, are you praying for anybody? I mean, are you really praying for, in light of the fact that we're all in this relationship together and God has been so good to us and all of us have been treated so wonderfully by God, are you praying for anybody? Paul said, I can't stop praying. And I want to say before some of us might expose ourselves needlessly to scrutiny, I do want to say that when we offer prayer, there ought to be somebody praying. We have prayer assembly here, and it does not seem to be rather popular. So I want to ask you, are you really praying? Constantly praying. The Bible says that we ought to pray without ceasing. Can you imagine how Paul must have prayed? Because the church at Ephesus immediately receives a continuation of incredibly good news. Because Paul says that I want you to know that God is blessing you. And then he says, because of what God is doing in you, we ought to see something out of you. Yeah, I'm here to tell you now, children of God, that you got it going on. Now, y'all don't believe me because you'd have hollered back. I'm telling you now that you have got it made. All right, now do y'all believe me? Try one more time. I'm telling you now that God loves you so much that he promised you he will deny you no good thing. He says, Susan, if you ask, it'll be given to you. If you look for it, you'll find it. My grandmother used to chastise us, Deacon Campbell, because she said we were too lazy to look for something. She said, right under y'all nose, and y'all sit here and whine about what you don't have, and you won't even get off your duff and look for it. God has been good to us. And here, in light of what God has done, in light of what God has done, too many of y'all sitting around acting like you waiting on God to do something. God has already done stuff. Therefore, laid up for me, that means God has already done that. Can I tell you now that the inheritance is yours? Let me help you understand, beloved of God, that an inheritance does not depend on you to die. No, he's already died. Boy, y'all missed that. We just come out of resurrection week. How can you not know that? He's already died. And when he died, he left you everything. Oh, y'all got it better than you should. You have a God who by faith has already put everything into motion. It's in the motion. It's already in the making, coach. All you got to do is show up and watch him show out. That's what I love about God, because what God is doing is already done. What God has proposed has already been put into motion. What God has prophesied has already come to pass. We are living in a now time. So what Paul says to the church, he said, listen, I want you to understand that you've got a future. We're just about done. I know you don't believe it, but you've got a future. Nudge your neighbor and tell him it ain't over. It ain't. No, it ain't over. He said, I want you to understand that you have a future. Not because you work hard. Not because you're most popular, not because you eat right, not because you're a deacon, not because you're a trustee, not because you're in the choir. You have a future because he called you. All right, 12 of y'all got that. Everybody's been called by God. You're living as an example, as a proof positive that God is a promise keeper. That's why your grandma and your great grandma told you, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side. They didn't say if it had not been for my job, had not been for my money, had not been for popularity. They simply put their money where their mouth was, put their feet down flat and said if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side. And I like the way they used to testify harmony. They would put the foot down every now and then, let you know they were serious about what they were saying. Y'all remember them old testimonies? They stood flat footed. Nobody testified sitting down. Nobody testified like they didn't have no energy. They stood up and said, excuse me. I don't want to prolong the service, but I can't sit here another minute without testifying. They always put that foot down. I wish I had some foot down folk up in here. You have been called by God. Paul says, I want you to understand you've got a future. That's wonderful. It ties in, Deacon Davis, with what the Lord said in prophecy. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to make you a real somebody. Look at the name and said, I'm standing up for that one. Yeah, he reminds us. He said, because all of us are purpose guaranteed. I like that myself. Because I remember when they used to tell me I wasn't going to be nothing. They told me I was too silly. They told me I was too lanky. They said I was too skinny. They said I played too much. But I'm purpose guaranteed. And every now and then when I go back home, I like to find some of my naysayers and some of my distractors and go, how you like me now? I'm the big doctor now. I'm pastor. And I always tell them I got 600, 700. I always add some numbers to it. I embellish it a little bit. I said, because I know they ain't coming up here. I tell them, you know, that the Lord is using me mightily because what you didn't see in me. How many know that sometimes God keeps some stuff hidden from folk? Yeah, there are some things that you ought to thank God that everybody didn't see. Both positive and negative. But Paul said, boy, you got a wonderful future. There's some things that God is doing to you because you're purpose guaranteed. But then he also reminds us, and I don't want to get to my shout point yet, but it's at the end of the third, coach, I'm going to tell you that because you are purpose guaranteed, that you are paradise guaranteed. Yeah. If you get it right down here, you sure enough coming in up there. Tell your name, I'm coming in someday. Yeah. You understand that our purpose guaranteed and paradise guaranteed. But the middle shouted this, Deacon Anderson, that our potential is glorious. Boy, I wish I had church folk who knew preaching. Listen, let me tell you something. You got to stop putting limits on yourself. You got to stop dumbing down. You got to stop sitting there talking about this just about as far as I'm going to go. I'm sad. I'm going to tell you something now. And I know some of y'all ain't going to like me when I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I ain't never satisfied. I always believe there's more. I always believe we can do better. I always believe we can go further. I always believe that there's more because I have a God who says all things are possible. My potential is glorious. Why? Because I'm going to get him the glory. Can I tell you how to get over your failures and shortcomings? Instead of trying to make you look big, make God look big. Instead of you trying to get all the glory, get God some glory. Because God loves glory. The Bible says he inhabits glory. Y'all ain't talking back to me. I'm going to use the long version. I was going to give you the short version. I gave you the 3 points. Now I'm going to go the long way. Because the fact of the matter is you got it better than you show it. Some of y'all sitting here now ain't smiled since you've been in here. Got this crocodile look on your face. I'm from Florida. I ain't scared of no alligators. We play with alligators where I come from. We used to go down to the little river down there in the creek bed. We knew it was alligators down there in Harmony. We used to go down there intentionally. We used to steal chickens out of our mama's refrigerator because alligators like chicken. We'll steal raw chicken and go down there and throw it in the creek. Make the alligators come and run like hell. day the lady lived down there, she said, y'all some stupid children. Because down south, you children. You not children, not ch-. She said, y'all some stupid children. Y'all go down there intentionally messing with them alligators. And we looked at her. Mrs. Scott said, we ain't got nothing else to do. She said, well, y'all better find something to do. Because one of these days, one of them alligators going to get y'all. My philosophy was, oh, it might get them. But I can outrun all them. I mean, I ain't scared no. So you know, some of us sitting up here like we crocodiles, alligator. You ain't scared nobody. I throw chicken at alligators. God says to you, okay, Deacon Anderson, God says to you that he would do anything for you. He's longing to bless you. He said, I just get up every morning thinking of ways to make your life wonderful. And he said, I've got a storage building down there on Langhorne, and all you got to do is ask me and I'll open it up for you. I'll let you go in and have the choicest of things because I want you to have it. And you can't walk around here like a ragamuffin. You can't walk around here dragging your feet and refusing to give me praise and refusing to acknowledge that I am who I said I am and I can do what I said I can do simply because you don't want it. But yet claim you do. It amazes me, Brother Thomas, how many people in the church live beneath their privilege by choice. And they want to make God seem like he ain't right. No, baby, you got to choose to live like this. And it ain't about showing out. It's about him showing up. Because I've come to tell you, you read your Bible very carefully, you will discover every time God showed up, the atmosphere changed. Hungry folk ate when God showed up. Blind folk start seeing. Lame folk start dancing. Deaf folk start listening. When God shows up. That's what we want in our church. We want God to show up. And what I discovered also, when God showed up, I never saw anybody say, no, thank you. We'll just stay like we is. We like being like this. They took advantage of the inheritance. And so Paul helps us to understand. Daniel comes along. Daniel said, you know, I turned to the Lord in prayer and fasting, and I pleaded with him. Show me his power. Daniel was in some kind of way, and he realized that most of us ought to realize too that only when you turn to God, only when you pray and ask God, will he show you his power. I don't want anybody to get upset with me today, but Daniel was willing to go so far. If you read the gospel of the Bible, you read it, Daniel says he wanted God's attention so badly that he put on sackcloth and ashes. Sometimes I think we dress to impress ourselves, not God. I really believe that it would blow some of us away to show up one Sunday with sackcloth and ashes to show how bad we really want God's attention. Y'all ain't getting down like that. I can see look on y'all face. You think to yourself, Reverend, no, sir, I'm Louis Vuitton all the way. I'm going to show how God has blessed me. But to get God's attention, Daniel said, I'm willing to debase myself. I'm willing to put on something. Daniel had it made. You look at Daniel's life, you will discover that he was one of the choice of his generation. That's why Daniel got elected as he did. That's why God blessed him, because he knew the plans that he had for him. And many of us in the church don't realize how wonderful we really have it. And so as we get ready to turn the corner, please understand, beloved of God, that you've got it better then you show it. A whole lot of us are sitting in the church and do not realize that when the Lord sent the Holy Spirit, that this purpose of the Holy Spirit was not that we would only speak in tongues or that we would be able to dance and shout. And listen, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you now that what I love about the Holy Spirit is he brought power. Holy Spirit came that we might have power. since we just come out of resurrection week, you will understand the beloved of God. As we draw to the early part of the book of Acts, you will discover that the disciples are standing there in a place and they are reminded of the promises of God. The voice of the angel said to them, did he not tell you that this kind of power was coming? Now you stand here looking, gazing as men. What are you waiting for? Look at your neighbor and ask him, what are you waiting for? Did he not tell you that the power was coming? Did he not tell you that as he was departing, that he was sending power to us? And so it is that you understand now what Paul says. There are three aspects to it, and we'll let you go. What Paul says is that because you've got it better than you show it, what God gives you is the enrichment to understand what's happening now. One of the things I think hurts the dynamic movement of the church is that there are too many who are misinformed, uninformed, and ain't paying attention. I will misinformed, uninformed, and not paying attention. Notice with me in the text in verse 17 and 18, Paul says that the desire that he has is that you get spiritual wisdom and insight. Wisdom is one thing, insight is another. Insight gives us that opportunity or the ability to kind of see what's coming and get in position for it. Wisdom then tells us, based on what we know, how to do with what we got. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Paul says, listen, what I'm asking is for enrichment. Daniel, in his version, is praying that God would send him power and revelation and use him in his personal task, facing his oppressors and those who don't understand him. Paul says now, we don't have that to worry about. What we need now is to use what God is giving us and know how to make it work. Am I right about it? Listen, there's an old saying that you can put the tool in somebody's hand, but if they don't know how to use it, it's useless. And so what Daniel says is, I am asking God to give you. Give you means that you don't have to do anything but receive it. Let me help you along through here. I'm hurrying now. Because a whole lot of us in the church live in impotency and inadequacies that are self-inflicted. I'm telling you now that God has not cheated one of you. If you want to be a good prayer warrior, Bible student, if you want to be able to sing, if you want to be able to preach, you want to be able to talk, you have spiritual wisdom and insight, is because God has already given it to every one of us. And what God has done is did this. In fact, if you read the rest of the Ephesian letter, go on a little further, he said that the reason God does this is to enrich and build up the body of Christ. Okay, y'all don't want to help me. I said the reason God has made all of us equal partners in spiritual insight, wisdom, and intellect is so that it will build up the body of Christ. I told you a couple of weeks ago, there's only two things we really need to worry about. It's not chandeliers, it's not parking lots, it's not budgets. It's binding up the enemy and building up the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you now, every one of you in this room, by virtue of the fact that you're still sucking in air and blowing out air, you have an opportunity from God and an assignment to help us get this work done. And because God has so fair and so rich, we ought to be moving into overflow rather than living like we in deficit. Listen, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And I'm here to tell you now that some of y'all need to shift your prayer time with God. If you got prayer time at all, you need to start learning how to ask God for kingdom stuff rather than selfish stuff, because selfish stuff ain't helping you anyhow. And so what Paul says is, I'm asking God to enrich you and help you to be stronger. Now, I thought that my Christian Academy folk would be helping me right along here, because those are one of our pillars of discipleship life. We've been talking about enrichment for a long time. And so Paul says you need to have the enrichment of God so that you can use what God has already given you. I'm telling you now, it's already there. It's just like what happened in the children of Israel's transition life. Every morning they woke up, the manna was already there. They didn't have to run down the food line or Kroger. It was already there. Look at your name and say, it's already there. And all they had to do was have sense enough to go and get it. Look at your name and say, just go get it. You sitting around here crying to the east, Sally, and crying to the west about what you don't have and what our church ain't and why our church ain't like this church and why our church don't sound like that church and why our church don't grow like that church and why our church don't. Listen, it's already there. The fact of the matter is the only difference between their church and our church is they had sense enough to go get it. Y'all ain't talking to me now? Then I'm still talking to you. Paul said that I wanted them to have enrichment. Then he said, in light of what you have learned by enrichment, now the expectations have changed. How many of you in this room today know that when you change your expectations, you change your horizons? When you change what you want, it changes what you get. How many have ever told somebody you ain't gonna leave till you get what you came for? How many of you have ever stood flat-footed and demanded, I didn't come here for no foolishness? And so Paul says now that the expectation would change. He said, listen, that you would undertake with a confident hope the fact that God has called you to higher living. And I want to help somebody understand that you got to learn how to raise your levels of expectation. You can't just sit around waiting on the vision plan to come out. You can't wait on the next mission statement to be rewritten. You got to learn how to be your own praise offering. You got to learn how to be your own instrument of praise. You got to learn how to have your own desires. And I've come to tell you now that every now and then when you change your desires, you'll change your company as well. Because when you hang around folk that don't want nothing and you want something, you will depart from their coast. When you hang around folk that are always talking down and lazy and lethargic, you'll depart from their coast. Why? Because you're not like them anymore. Look at your name and say, I'm going to be separate and come out from among them. I've changed my expectation level because I believe that the God I serve is the God of everything. And if in fact, because in fact we serve a God of everything, it don't make no sense to me for us to walk around here like we ain't got nothing. Because we have a God who can open up windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. Because we have a God that has promised to supply all of our need. Because we have a God that said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It don't make no sense for us to be sitting around here like we impoverished. In fact, look at your name and say, I know you got it better than that. You don't give like you got it. You don't sing like you got it. You don't serve like you got it. But I know you got it. Why? Because God cannot lie. God has already promised us. God has already positioned us. God has already prepped us. God has already empowered us. And since God has already done all that, then we ought to do something with what we got. He reminded him, he said, listen, not only must you raise your expectations because of your enrichment, but then he says the last thing, and we'll let you go home. He said, there must be an exhibition. You got to start showing what you got. Look and listen, Peter and John wind up in a place on their way to church one Sunday morning. Deacon Walker, they had no intention or inclination of what might happen to them along the journey. But the Bible says as they were on their way to church, they were going to praise God and became a praise offering. This man sitting there on Solomon's colonnade begging on a Sunday morning like so many church folk do, sitting right outside the house of God just waiting for a handout. Rather than being a praise offering to God, he was sitting there waiting on somebody to give him something. Well, look at you and said, I'm your blessing today. I need you to understand that I didn't come up in this camp to sit around with nothingness, because after all God has done to me, after all God has been for me, as far as God has brought me, I've got to show something. Look at your name and say, this little light of mine. The Bible said they came to show him something. And so when the man called upon them, they looked at him and said, sir, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we do, we're going to be more than happy to give it to you. Look at your name and say, neighbor, it's not my finance. It's my faith. It's all about what I believe God for. I may not drive like Howard Brown. I may not live like Howard Brown. But the God I serve is the same God that put the boat in his yard. It's the same God that hid that Mercedes. It's the same God. Look at your name and say, neighbor, It's the same God. And because we serve the same God, we got the same guarantee. God is no respecter person. I'm here to tell you now that the only reason GBC is stuck where it is because so many of us are hiding our hands, closing our eyes, setting our feet. But the change has come. It's time to rise, shine, and give God the glory. It's time to stand on your feet and declare, for God I live, and for God I'll die. It's time to stand on your feet and tell your neighbor, I've been fooling y'all. I've been trying to keep it on the low. But the God I serve has called my name. It's time to stand up and give God the glory. It's time to tithe right, sing right, love right, live right. It's time. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's my time. It's my season to be blessed. God made me a promise, and every promise he made, every word he declared, is mine, is mine, is mine. Ain't God all right? Paul said, show it. Let the world know that you're a child of God. Stop living in the cave. Stop sticking your head in the sand. Go ahead and show God that he's all right. Go ahead and make yourself a vessel to be used. Go ahead and let your light shine, because God is worthy. After all he did, he hung, bled, and died. And when he died, he didn't stay there, but early, 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 one Sunday morning, didn't he do it? Didn't he rise? Didn't he rise? Paul said, all I want to know is the power of God and the resurrection. What Paul is saying is the church shouldn't be dead. The church shouldn't be quiet. The church shouldn't be struggling. The church shouldn't be whining. The church should rise in the power of life. And when God gives life, won't God give life? Anybody got life? Anybody got joy? Anybody got peace? Anybody got hope? Anybody got purpose? Say yeah! Say yeah! Say ah! Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've been holding out on us. You got it better than you've been showing. Better than you've been serving. Better than you've been attending. Better than you've been walking. Better than you've been loving. You got it better than that. Say, neighbor, I'm going to draw on you. I'm going to pull out of you what God put in you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to pull you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to do it because God did it. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Look at the neighbor and say, neighbor, you got it, got it, got it. You got it, got it, got it. You got it, got it, got it. Now do something with it, with it, with it. With it, with it, with it. Say yeah. On your mark, get ready, get set, go. On your mark, get ready, get set, go. On your mark, get ready, get set, go. Now go. Run for us, run for us, run for us, run for us. Say yeah, say yeah, say go, say go, say go, say go, say go, 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 go. Ain't God all right? You got it. You got it. Better than you've been showing it. It's time to exhibit what you got. I'm amazed. We're going to go home. It's time to go. I'm amazed at people who do yard sales. I never understood the concept of yard sale. I mean, I understand you're trying to get rid of some stuff. But Harmony, what gets me with the yard sale is people drag all that stuff outside.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All over the yard. You pull up. And you get out. Y'all got a little time? And you do this.
You got two of these. You got the one that match it. Oh, okay. You walk around the whole yard. And you go back. What you want for this? Make me an offer. You say 50 cents. They say, I know, I got to get a dollar. What gets me is both of y'all wasting each other time. You know what you want to give for it. They know what it's worth. Y'all missing it. We treat God like we're having a yard sale.
Come on, Pastor.
God knows what you're worth. The problem is, you know what you want to give him for it. You wasting his time and yours. Your value is far above rubies. And you out there in a yard sale? Now, not the yard sale. This is just the mentality. You can't function in the church like we having a yard sale. You're trying to lowball God in everything you do. Lowball in your attendance. Lowball in how you're giving. Lowball. And then you want to stand there and go, that's too much. How can it be too much? It belongs to the owner. The owner knows the value. Y'all been cheating yourself. Get out of that yard sale mentality. Stop wasting your time waiting on people to lowball estimate you. You got it like that. You don't belong in a yard sale. You belong in a museum, an auction house. Sotheby's, where they really bid on stuff. Let me show you what I'm talking about. They didn't see it coming. Man went to a yard sale a few weeks ago and bought a painting. Paid $15 for it. Friend comes over and says, where did you get that? He said, I bought it at a yard sale. Gave the lady $15 for it. He said, do you know what this is? He said, it's a painting. I'm just going to touch it up. He said, don't touch it. Don't you dare. He calls a curator, friend of his. Says, I want to send you a painting. I want you to look at it. They wrap up the painting. Go to the post office. Don't even put good insurance on it. Send it to the curator. The man opens it up and goes, ah! He called him and he said, do you know what this is? As an hour blown to a friend of mine, he said, and he let you mail this? He said, you should have sent this with security. The painting is worth over $100 million. And found in the yard sale.
Come on.
Some of you all don't know what you're worth. You don't even know your own value. You got it better than you're showing. You all must now decide to come out of that yard sale mentality. Get out of the bargain basement of spirituality. You have an inheritance. Man who owned the painting originally, they traced it, couldn't figure out where he got it from. They kept going back. Now the man who sold it for $15 wants to file a lawsuit so he can get it back. Not likely going to happen. It was a fair trade. You offered it at a price. I gave you a price. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying don't let nobody sell you low. You're worth more than that. Don't let nobody tell you that because
because you're on Florida Avenue that your value is only based on where you are. Your value is never based on where you are. Your value is based on whose you are. Don't miss that. Oh, you go to Brookville, y'all over there. That's right. But God is still God, and I belong to God. I am who he says I am, and I'm worth what he says I'm worth.
You got it better than you show it. Paul said there must be an enlightenment. You need an enrichment. You need to understand what you have. Keep Ephesians 1. Keep it open. Read the verses over and over again and keep plugging your name in. This church must stop living beneath its privilege. And I'm not talking about this building. We can get another building. I'm talking about you and 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 you. Even our guests. I'm talking to you. You are worth more than you show. And you ain't got to dress in Louis Vuitton. You ain't got to put on Gucci. Save that money. Put it in the tithe and offering tray. But you worth something. When I hear you sing, every time you sing that song, it makes me think about when you first came here, you were quiet. You didn't do nothing. You act like you were scared. But that's your testimony. When you started saying yes to God, that's your song. Nobody else can't sing that song like you sing it. Not far as I'm concerned. Because that's you. That's why I know you sing it like that. I know you thinking when you were quiet and muted. I used to think she couldn't talk. I said, boy, married a mute. Poor girl. But I listen. If all of us would listen to what you said in that song today, that's how, when you sang that, I knew I was preaching the right sermon. I said, we spot on today. God, y'all so valuable. Y'all have so much to offer. Gotta stop being scared. Stop worrying about what other people are doing. Do your thing, baby. Give God the glory he's due out of your life. I told Deacon Walker something a few weeks ago. I'm not going to tell it all, Deacon Walker. But the Lord told me to tell him to wait. I just told him, I didn't try to turn into a prophet. I said, Deacon Walker, I was praying, the Lord told me to tell you to wait. And I walked off, didn't I? I didn't get in his business. But if he wants to tell you later, his life is changing. Things are happening. God is doing something. God gave him insight to move when it was time to move. And not too soon. Don't tell me God ain't trying to use y'all. Every one of you is priceless. And you got something to offer. You want to see a greater church? Be a greater people. Just you. Start with you. Don't be looking across the aisle talking about what Susan ought to be doing and if Sister Scott did. No, no. You do you. Because you are the Howard Browns of this time. You ain't showing it all yet. I'm going to finish that little story. Mr. Brown showed up one day to the motor pool driving that Mercedes. And everybody liked to die. He parked it where everybody could see it. You just parked that old Chevrolet around the corner over there. He parked that Mercedes, got there early intentionally. Pull up in that old big Mercedes, one of them big 560 SEL. You know, back when the Mercedes was like two car parts, you know, you took up two. And Howard Brown got out the car. He was sharp. I mean, had on a suit. Everybody said, look at what old Brown doing. Miss Brown came in with a little derby hat, you know, a little hat on. Went in and put his hat down like he always did. Took off his jacket, his tie, put his coveralls on. He looked and said, who car that you driving, Brown? He said, who driving it? Miss Brown and I got to be real good friends. He said, who driving it? And she said, well, where you get that from? He said, got plenty more of them at the house. He said, I've had it for years. He said, well, why you don't never drive it? He said, because everything I have ain't for you to look at. I'll show you what I want you to see. And today I felt like showing y'all something. Man came in a suit. Put on coveralls. They thought he was calling in sick or going to leave. He worked. My point to you is, some of y'all been showing us what you want us to see. But it ain't the best you got. Now it's time for you to start showing off a little bit. Some of y'all need to pull that Mercedes out the garage. Not literally a Mercedes, but come on and show God through what you're doing. Stop walking around crying poor mouth and what you don't have. You got it going on in your own little world. Let's stand on our feet. We're going home. Or wherever y'all going to go. You got it better than you show it. And I'm going to tell you now because it's my duty to tell you. We've disappointed God tremendously. He loves us so much. He's been very tolerant with us. You do know God is a patient God. Everybody knows that, right? He's long-suffering, slow to anger. He's patient. But how many have been told by grandma or somebody, don't try my patience too long? We are on the cusp of go or no go. That's what the Lord is saying to us. We are either going to move forward or we'll spend another season in stagnation. And it's our choice. God has not denied us. We're not under a curse. There's not one church in this country that has more favor than we do. The only difference is when they saw their manna falling, they went out and got it. And they did like Daniel did. When they did not have what they wanted, they asked for it. And showed God their sincerity by going the extra mile in their asking. We asked the church to pray. And when all the church won't pray, that's disharmony. That's not unity. I'm convinced that God is waiting for us to come up as one. If we can just do it one time, it'll make all the difference in the world. Daniel had no more God than we've got. Paul had no more insight than we have. Paul wrote it for us so we can read it, so we can know what he knew and do what he did. The book is nothing but a key that unlocks every door. Every verse of scripture, every prayer, every insight is to take advantage so we can expedite our presence before God. I've said this to you before and I'll say it to you again. One of my most consistent introductions, opening arguments with God is simply this, Darren. Lord, you said. I read it in his book and that's what I go tell. I don't try to tell him what Vicky said. I don't try to tell him what Jake said. I say to God in my prayer time, Lord, you said. I don't even have to tell him where he said it because he knows he said it. You don't have to quote his, Lord, you said in Ephesians 5. Just tell him, Lord, you said. And you know, when I say that to him, coach, he always says, amen. Son, you know my word. I'm accountable. Hold God accountable and watch what he do. Watch what he does. Sorry, Miss Scott. Both of y'all got me that time, huh? So my beloved friend, if you're not saved, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, make your way down today. All I'm going to ask you is, what is your desire? If you say, Pastor, I want to be saved, you're in the right spot. It's not about jumping through hoops. It's not about any of that. All you got to say is, Pastor, man of God, I want to be saved. And I will tell you, as I said already, he died to give you an inheritance. And the inheritance is for everybody. It ain't just for Deacon Davis or Jennifer Brody or Tashim. It's for everybody. I hear the Lord saying there's plenty more where that came from. So if you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior, you ought to come very quickly. Because it's for you today. You got it like that. If you've already accepted him as Lord and Savior, and you believe today that if just one sentence, one word was applicable to your life today, would you make a change to show better than you've been showing, to do better than you've been doing, to move based on the enrichment of God. Change the expectation and then change the exhibit of your life. Let your light so shine that when men see what your Father is doing in your life, how many of you can raise your hand today and say, you know, God is doing something in your life? That's just about every hand. Then let it be shown. If you change the way you think, you'll change the way you live. Slap somebody on the back and says, that's simple. Flap them, knock them, move them. It's that simple. If you change the way you think, you're going to change how you live. Look at somebody and say, I've been wanting to hit you anyway. Let me run over here right quick, Pastor. That's what God is saying. So today in this moment, there's a Howard Brown in this room. There's a Howard Brown. Your name ain't Howard Brown, but you're like Howard Brown. You've got treasure. And it's not about the material thing. I mean, I told that story to set it up for a spiritual point, but you've got so much in you. Deacon Walker and I were talking in the hall the other day. We need educators. We need people to work with our kids. It always amazes me that people who have kids should be the first one, in my opinion, to want to work with kids. You already do it all the time. You bring your gift and do something with it. And we were saying, you know, Pastor, if we don't find people, we're going to have a shortage. We can't let that program die because we don't have volunteers to want to work with our kids. We'll give you the manuscript. We'll give you the lesson plans. But these are our children, our kids. And then our adults. This thing for the ladies. Man, this is for the ladies. Every woman ought to want to go to a little swanky event. I mean, you know, hat and pearls. I mean, you don't have no hat or pearls. Don't worry about that. But this is for us. God is showing us that he'll bless us. His hands are wide open to us. You got more than you show. And then lastly, I want to say this to you. Please never misinterpret my preaching. I'm not trying to beat up nobody. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm really trying to get you to see God in a way that I know it'll change your life. You have purpose guaranteed. You have the potential for glorious life. And you are paradise guaranteed. God says, I have gone to prepare a place for you. Man, I want to be there. I don't know about you. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know how I'm going to die. But I do know this, that the dead in Christ will rise and them that remain. So if I'm either still here or already gone, I just want to see him. And I know that the Bible declares that there is a rich welcome waiting for us. Whoever the maitre d' or whoever the concierge is, when I get up there and tell him what my name is, he going to reach under there and get that cookie and that little gold key. Some of y'all ain't been to no good hotels. Go to a good hotel, they give you something when you check in. He going to say, well done. The banquet area, the reception area is that way. And boy, when I walk in that room, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to have my head up high. I'm going to be strutting a little bit. Sister Anderson told me 3 years ago to keep my swagger. I'm a swag into the room. Somebody going to say, look at Leroy. I knew he'd come in like that. That's right. I might even go, ooh, something like that. I don't know. No, they might put me out then. Country boy. My point is this. You're guaranteed. Don't cheat God because you cheat yourself. Don't cheat God because you're cheating yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you speak to this people concerning their promise, concerning their purpose and the power, the potential that comes with every life that is in Christ Jesus. You took 12 men, turned the world upside down, around, and stretched it out, and it has never been the same. You took those who seemed ordinary, average, normal, and God, you did it. And so, God, our prayer simply in this few moments we have yet to remain is this. Because you did it before, sir, would you do it again? In this room are average, normal, everyday people. But in them is greatness. Your word says it's greatness. In this people lies unlimited potential. For nothing is impossible to them that believe. In this people flow riches that are yet untold. As Queen Candace said to Solomon, I've heard about you, but I had to come and see. And now that I'm here, I know that the half has not been told. So God, today, would you use us to whisper to one another that the half has not been told. Neighbor, I know you. I've known you for years. I've only known you a short time. Maybe I just met you today. But I'm of the same mind as Queen Candace. I just believe, God, that in you, the half has not been told. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Would you receive that today? By lifting your hands and simply declaring to God, Lord, I trust you that I don't show like I got it, but I will because of who you are. And what you do, and you do it so well, God, the half has not been told. God bless you today. Go in peace. Hug at least four or five people. Say something nice to them. Please sign up for the walk. Put your name and your t-shirt size on there. The quicker you do it, the better off you're going to be. We will have a cutoff date. God bless you. Go in peace. God loves you, and so do I.